It's been the toughest decision of my tax career deciding to leave Danes after 7 years. In this episode, I share why, how I found and decided on my new role as an employment tax director for PKF Smith Cooper, and I also share the worst part of the whole process for me. Oh, and I should also mention that I'm being interviewed in this episode of the podcast for the first time ever. You're listening to episode 98 of the Tax Professionals Podcast, the podcast that helps tax professionals to progress, develop, and improve their careers.
Welcome to the Tax Professionals Podcast, the podcast dedicated to helping you improve your tax career. Here's your host, Jack Bonehill.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this episode. This episode is the first of its kind on the podcast, as I'm being interviewed by someone else, Sam Hart of Claritas Tax. And the episode is centred around me deciding to leave my now ex-employer Danes after 7 years, which is without a doubt the hardest decision that I've had to make in my career. Whether or not to leave or stay with your employer would probably be a tough decision for a lot of you too. There's just no way for sure that you can know what the right decision to do is, and so it can somewhat feel like a leap of faith, and it felt a bit like this for me. And this is why I wanted to do this episode, to share what went on in my mind and the process I went through, with the aim that at least some of you will relate to the situation, and it will help you if you end up in a similar situation. I don't want to give too many spoilers for this episode, but here is a rough overview of the different sections. I'll give a bit of an overview of my career. I'll talk about why I decided to leave Danes after 7 years, how I found my new role, and key reasons for why I took it. I share a bit about the interview process and how I prepared. I share what happened after I was offered the job to the point of accepting it, and also the worst part of the whole process. And I finish off by talking a bit about the future of my career, both from the tax advisor perspective and the podcast perspective. And I talk a bit about my biggest worry for my new role. So rough timings for each of those sections can be found in the details section of this episode within your podcast player of choice, or by heading on over to the show notes for this episode at thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/TTPP98. As I'm recording this intro, I started my new role yesterday, but Sam interviewed me about 2 weeks ago now. I think what I'm likely to do is do a few more episodes in the future to share the journey of being a tax director for an accountancy firm for the first time, maybe a few different key points to give you all an insight into this, what I've learned and how I'm finding it, because it is my first role as a director. Just before we jump into the episode, here's a quick message from ProTax.
Hi, I'm Maisie from ProTax Recruitment, and we're proud to sponsor the Tax Professionals podcast. Here at ProTax, we help tax professionals like you to find new roles that are a great fit to you. We focus solely on tax recruitment, and this allows us to give you current, informative insights into the tax market, helping you to make well-informed decisions. Head on over to thetaxprofessionalpodcast.com/protax to see our latest tax roles and our team, all of whom would be happy to speak to you.
Thanks to ProTax for sponsoring the podcast. Kevin Ratcher at ProTax actually plays me at Danes. So if you do want to get in touch with ProTax, but you're unsure of who to contact, I can suggest messaging or calling Kevin. Without further ado, let's get to the episode.
So hello, and you'll probably have realised by now that this is an edition of the Tax Professionals podcast, because for once, your host with the most, Jack, is actually going to be answering the questions instead of asking them. This episode is looking at when you have to make the difficult decision to leave a job after a long period of time. And as Jack is going through that very thing himself, we thought that we would have a chat to him and talk about the things he's been thinking about during this process. But also you, his loyal listeners, can get to know him a bit better, because I think when he's doing all the asking of the questions all of the time, you don't necessarily get to know him as well as you get to know all the rest of the guests. Before we get into the nitty gritty of it, I thought it might be nice if Jack just talked to us a bit about himself. We all know him as the host of the Tax Professionals podcast, and of course, a very worthy winner of Taxation's Rising Star 2023. And he's an employment tax specialist from the lovely Midlands. But Jack, please tell us all about you.
I will do, yeah. First off, I'll just say it was completely Sam's idea to have someone interview me, by the way. So it's full credit to her. And she probably didn't expect me to ask her to do it when she put the suggestion out there, but thought it was a good one. And since she came up with the idea, I thought I'd at least ask her, and she seems keen to do it. So yeah, I'll give a bit more of an overview of my career for a change, because I've never really done that live on the podcast. When I left uni, actually, I had two kind of career paths that I was looking at. One was to be an actuary, because I did a maths degree, and that's a very maths-based job. And the close second was tax. So tax actually wasn't ever my first choice. And it took me probably I'd say 4 or 5 years after working in tax to completely drop the idea of wanting to be an actuary and be like happy with the fact that I was working in tax fully. The thing with actuary jobs, like they're all based in London, really. There are a few in Birmingham and the West Midlands, but I never really wanted to move. It never really was going to work, I suppose, if I couldn't get one of those. And I ended up really enjoying tax anyway, as you probably all know now. So I started working actually in tax in a really small employment tax boutique firm based in Bromsgrove, which is just outside Birmingham. And I was there for about 20 months, learned an awful lot there actually. And my interest in tax research started there really, because we had so little people there. When we had like a complicated query or something we didn't know the answer to, someone needs to find it out. And for some reason, I just quite liked doing that. I then moved to Danes Accountants, where I was for 7 years, which is a really long time there when I think about it. So I joined there as a tax assistant, and then over the years moved up to senior manager. And in my time at Danes, that's when I also started the Tax Professionals podcast, which is now, it's almost 4 years old, which I really can't believe, actually. It's gone super, super quickly. I didn't think it would come what it's become. So that's nice. Side of work. So I think that's probably where most of you don't really know much about me at all. So just a little bit more of an insight. Like my biggest hobby always since about the age of 12 has been gaming. So I'm one of those people that spends way too much time in front of the computer, even more so now than ever, working from home a lot. So I've got a study, which is where I work. It's where I do the podcast, and it's also where I game. And I know it drives my wife mad sometimes that I spend so much time in this room, but that's just the way I am. I do try and get out a bit. We got a dog last year. We rescued a dog, a lurcher called Safi, which has definitely changed the way that I live, having to be responsible for someone else other than me. And yeah, had the most difficult decision of my career so far, making a decision to leave Danes after so long, because I did have so many good opportunities there. I learned an awful lot. And for the most part of that, I had a really good time there. Particularly enjoyed the people I worked with. Learned a lot of expertise, learned how to be a good advisor, learned how to be commercial, learned how to delegate, learned how to win work. Like pretty much everything I know about being a good tax advisor, I've learned at my time at Danes.
And it's great that you've got such good, positive feeling from the firm. But I think it is true that part of being a tax professional is being able to recognise when a job or a particular role is no longer right for you, and that sometimes you do have to make difficult decisions about your career. Now, I think really there's three main areas we can talk about, which is maybe why you chose to leave, process of doing it, because, you know, there might be people out there who are in a similar position to you and they want to know how you went about it to help them. And then, of course, the future and the future holds for you. Thinking of, given you've just told us all the positive things you had from your current role, what were the things that made you think that actually you might want to think about leaving?
Yeah, I'll go back a bit first to probably about, I think it was about August time last year. Actually, even earlier than that, really, it was when just after I won the award at the Tollys Taxation Awards that year. So someone that I knew of on LinkedIn, but I'd never spoke to before, had sent me like a random message that said something like, oh, congratulations on the award. And I said, thank you. It came back and it said something like, oh, you should monetize it. And then I literally just heard nothing from this person for 3-4 months. And then all of a sudden one day on LinkedIn, they messaged me and I just said, oh, can we chat? Here's my number. And so then I just happened to be free for some reason, whatever. So I ended up calling them and we had a massive conversation where they gave me loads and loads of useful information in relation to a very specific area of employment taxes. I suppose practical what he'd been seeing in terms of HMRC activity and all the rest of it. And because he gave me so much information, I'd never mentioned this thing to anyone before, but when I was doing some work a few years before, I had this idea around some planning that could be done around national insurance. So I just mentioned it to him completely off the cuff, just to feel like I was giving him something back. And he was fully behind the idea and thought it worked and everything. And we ended up having quite a few conversations. I did about 40 hours of research around it, thinking, like, God, could this be something that I want to set up or have a firm that offers this planning and something? And for the first time in probably 2 years, I actually felt really excited about the tax work I was doing. And that was the first thing that made me think, actually, is me sticking at Danes and continuing to do this right for me anymore? Because it didn't excite me anymore, which I know sounds probably odd for a lot of people. My wife would be like, how can you ever be excited by work? But I actually, for the first 5-6 years of working in tax, I did enjoy 90% of the things I was doing. Of course, there were some things that I didn't like, but I really did enjoy most of it. So that was the first thing. Also, in about the last year or so, I've had two really bad periods of stress that were like a month long each time where I felt stressed. pretty much all day, every day, including weekends. And it just took such a long time for it to go. And when I was thinking, like, what is the reasons that why I'm feeling like that? The only thing I could really come to is I felt like I was putting too much pressure on myself to hit our billing targets. And I felt like the billing target was a bit too high for what the team was capable of in terms of the amount of people in it and the certain level, etc. So it was self-pressure put on myself, but I think the self-pressure wouldn't have existed if we didn't have a really high target, which I think somewhat came from the fact that there's been changes in Danes about them being PE backed and things like that. So it's not a massive change, but I think the culture has shifted a little bit from when I first started there, and that's definitely played into it a little bit too. And the second reason really is I put these silly targets on myself or goals on myself with restricted deadlines. For example, I wanted to be a director by, say, April 2024. So that was like a target that I had. And so I had quite a lot of conversations with someone in my team last year about like when I could become director, what I was currently like short on, where I needed to work. And in those conversations, because at that moment in time, at least anyway, Danes didn't have a set structure in terms of what a director looked like for them and what skills and what they needed to be capable of, I found it really difficult to get any form of clarity at all. So I didn't really know what I needed to be doing and where I was short. And yeah, that's obviously frustrating, right? Because I just wanted to be told, you're doing really well in these areas, but to be a director, you just need to do a little bit better in these ones. And I couldn't get any timescales either, which for someone like me that is so goal-orientated was frustrating. So then I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to have a look out there just to see whether anyone else would offer me a director role. So that's exactly what I did. I spoke to a firm that I spoke to in the past who I really liked and was close to moving to probably about 3 years prior. And after about four or five conversations with them, they offered me the director role without really any question about it. And I just thought, if they're willing to take the punt on me now and I can get the clarity now, it just felt much easier for me in a way. And I've almost become excited again about the fact of doing something different, working for someone else. Them taking what felt like a punt on me without really knowing me all that well. Of course, I've got the podcast and all the stuff that I put out there on LinkedIn, but they've not ever seen my tax work or know what I'm like to work with per se. So I just thought now is the time to make the move really and try something a little bit different.
Yes, really, a lot of the issues are with you being frustrated with your current employer. And even though you tried to get some clarity from them, you weren't able to. But you say in your position, you were able to reach out to your network and speak to them, didn't get that kind of clarity. What would you say, though, for people who might not have that kind of network? Would you use a recruiter? Would you just talk to other people at different firms? What do you think would be the best route?
So to be fair, like putting the podcast aside, like I don't think it really helped me in getting this role, because I think I'm probably right in saying this for all tax professionals, at least past, say, manager level. You get an awful lot of messages from recruiters on LinkedIn or maybe even from a firm themselves directly. So sometimes I've had like heads of tax message me or tax partners. And every single time I get a message on LinkedIn or anywhere, in fact, to do with something like that, I will respond to them and I'll at least entertain the idea of there being another job out there. So I ended up having loads of coffees and drinks with people over, say, even before I started the podcast and after it, where I just spoke to them and found out a bit more about them, what they've got going on at their firm, what type of jobs they could have. I think people already had interest in wanting to hire me because of that. And then because I'd already spoken to so many people over the years, I already knew straight away who I was interested in personally. So I already got past a lot of the filtering process, if that's the right word for it.
But do you think that's important for people who are thinking of making a move, that it's not necessarily just, oh, who will give me a job? It's where do I want to work? Where do I want to be going? And what do I want to be doing?
Yeah, it's definitely the biggest thing, I think. For me, I was saying for an awfully long time, there's no point in moving from one accountancy firm to another. That was like my view for a really long time. And that's because I just thought, yeah, it might be a bigger firm and they might have slightly different clients, but ultimately it'd be very similar. And I had that view until I spoke to Smith Cooper, which is where I'm moving to. So as this goes live, I'll already be there. So everyone will know at that point. But as of now, that's where I'm going. I'm going to Smith Cooper. And that was the first time where I thought, actually, like one accountancy firm can be very different to another. And one of the things that really stood out to me at Smith Cooper really was the fact that they had hopefully this offends no one, a younger culture in a way. Like they had quite a few directors and partners that were early to mid 30s, which when you look out there at a lot of accountancy firms, you don't see that very often. which I think is a massive shame. But it really, for someone like me that's young, ambitious, wanted to continue progressing, I just felt like it was reassuring knowing that they wouldn't hold me back based on age, and it would be based on how good I am at the job and what results that I can deliver for them. But yeah, absolutely. Coming back to the initial question, I think it does make a big difference knowing what you want and knowing who you would fit into, because I would not have moved to a lot of other firms because I just thought it was too similar to Dane's.
Yeah, and just my own insight from the other side of it as being somebody who does interview people for roles, I'm always looking for people who will fit within the firm in terms of personality and attitude rather than just being an academic exercise. So I do think it is important to do your research on the options before deciding where you want to go.
Yeah, massively. And it can seem like you're wasting your time because you might be thinking there's not going to be anything out there that really does take my interest over something else. But you're going to be working for that firm for a long time, and there will be one out there that's a better fit for you and vice versa than some others out there that just will be.
Absolutely. And I know you're happily married, but you know, you were dating for 7 years. That's longer than a lot of people's relationships, isn't it?
It is in today's world. Yeah.
It is. Given you've described the process as being relatively informal and with a number of chats, did you have a formal interview process? And if so, how did you prepare for those?
Yeah, it was never really formal. I have never been good at formal interviews. It was really what let me down so many times when I was looking for graduate jobs. I've gotten much better over the years, and doing something like the podcast has definitely helped because I've become much better at speaking clearly and I suppose getting past any nerves that come with an interview. So all the interviews I've had since joining Dane's have only ever been really informal. So like the first one will literally be like either a quick phone call with someone or a quick coffee with them. And really, I just think the point of that is really is just to get to know the other side and for them to get to know you a bit, because I think you can find out pretty quickly whether you're going to be a good match or not. And so that always helped me filter through pretty quickly. But then in terms of what I went through in terms of getting the Smith Cooper job, so really, I just reached out to them first because of the job offer they gave me in the past and just said, look, I'm interested in looking out there and seeing whether there's a director role anywhere available for me. And they spoke to me straight away. So we had a very informal Teams or Zoom chat again with them. Can't even remember exactly who was on there now, but it's probably like an hour and a half chat where I was just telling them what I wanted. They were telling me like their position and stuff. And we just had a few extra conversations after that. The most formal one in the whole process was one that I had with one of their senior partners, where he just wanted to understand a bit more like what I would do in terms of winning work, or like what my ideas were in terms of that and how I'd go about almost setting up an employment tax business in Birmingham specifically. That was the most formal one. And that was the only one out of all of them that I really did any preparation for, because all the ones up until that point, I'd already done an awful lot of thinking about what I wanted and what I didn't want and all those things. So it was just very natural for me to speak about those. But that conversation, because I felt like it was almost like a deal breaker at that point. I can either tell them they're like all these ideas that I've got and they can hate them, or I can tell them and they'll love it. And so I wanted to make sure that the ideas I went to talk to them about were actually like good ideas, so that they didn't think like, what on earth is this person on about?
And do you think your attitude of almost going into it with as it being a conversation and more of, I'm going to tell you what I want and you can tell me what you want, it helps people with nerves rather than thinking of it as like a grilling that, you know, they have no autonomy over?
Massively. The word interview itself has got connotations to it, hasn't it? Which makes people automatically feel nervous. I think as well, to be fair, it might not work for everyone though, this, but because I am not really a corporate person at all, I like to be me inside and outside of work and not really change it. Yes, of course, I won't say certain things at work, but in the main, like I'm very, if you talk to me in work and you talk to me outside of work, I am pretty much the identical person, just a bit toned back at work sometimes. So that informal kind of discussion and thinking of it as a conversation works for me, because if they weren't impressed after having an informal conversation with me, I just thought they probably won't be a good fit for me anyway, because that is the way that I operate and I didn't want to change that.
Well, and it seems to have worked very well for you so far. Just another point that I think people worry about a lot is when it got to the point of they wanted to offer you a job, you wanted to go and work there, were you in a position that you could negotiate your package, or was it very much, this is what it is, like it or lump it?
They didn't present it like that. And I didn't even get the impression that's what it was. But because I felt the offer was so fair that I didn't even bother negotiating. And now I'm sure you're going to think, God, that's an awful thing to do. Of course you're negotiating. I've spoken to some recruiters since who've said the exact same thing. And yeah, maybe that was a mistake in hindsight. But because I felt like they were taking a punt on me, and because the salary was what I was expecting and what I was looking for. I really had no reason to negotiate it. The reason I was moving was not money-based, for example. They already accepted that I'd do 4 days. No, they already accepted a bunch of other things. Like, I didn't feel like, I felt like I'd be cheeky to even ask for anything else but one. So I didn't bother. And what I would like to do is hopefully have a really good first 6 to 12 months and then have a good conversation about it. Because at that point, I feel like I'd be in a much better position to talk about it. And knowing me anyway, I'll be thinking then, what do I need to do to become partner? And hopefully those conversations will be easier after 6 months to a year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's no point negotiating just for the sake of negotiating. If you're happy with the offer, then you should be happy with the offer. But also, if you're not happy, rather than just rejecting it, there is opportunity for negotiations in many situations.
Here at ProTax, we help tax professionals like you to find new roles that are a great fit to you. We focus solely on tax recruitment, and this allows us to give you current, informative insights into the tax market, helping you to make well-informed decisions. Head on over to thetaxprofessionalpodcast.com/ProTax to see our latest tax roles and our team, all of whom would be happy to speak to you.
Yeah. I will say, by the way, I didn't accept it like immediately. It was like 2 weeks of loads and loads of thinking. I actually had quite a lot of different options, which I think have partly come from the podcast. So I had that idea about some planning that I talked about earlier. So I could have set up a business there. It felt too risky in the end, which is why I ended up discarding that one. I could have jumped and done the podcast and everything related to that full time. Again, had an element of risk because no guaranteed income, which is one of the worst things possible for my wife. Like, she, just the thought of it makes her feel completely uncomfortable. So whilst I could have done that, I didn't really want to because I still enjoy working in tax. And anyway, taking that jump and setting up my own business stuff was off the table, really, because of where I'm at personally. I could have moved to something that wasn't an accountancy firm at all. So I did have one. It wasn't really a job offer, but it was something that would have become a job offer at some point. So there was someone I knew that the owners were selling the business. And as soon as the owners exited, they had no one to provide the tax advice anymore that they needed. So there was something there. And that sounded really good, to be fair, but it was just so uncertain, which is why I discarded that one as well. So then I was really left with, do I stay at Danes or do I take this job? And even though it was the director promotion, even though it was much better pay, it was still a really hard decision. Like, you would not believe how many people I spoke to. My wife was probably driven insane over those 2 weeks. And then I just ended up reaching out to a bunch of different people that I knew, some people that used to work at Danes, and had made the move, some other people that I just knew well and appreciated their thoughts and advice. And then it was one conversation in the end that tipped it for me. It was someone that used to work at Danes and someone that made the move. And I just had a completely open and honest conversation with them, and they were telling me about all the things they were worried about, and they were exactly the same as what I was worried about. And as soon as they said within the first few weeks that was all gone, I just thought, I just need to do it. So I just did that. The next day I handed in my notice. That one conversation was like the tipping point, which is weird in a way because I spoke to so many people and I was still unsure, but that one conversation really was the thing that spurred me on to do it.
And I think that's it. Sometimes the familiar is familiar and the unknown is the unknown, and that's the biggest part of it. And it is, eventually you just have to jump off the deep end, don't you?
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got to end this process and we're looking forward to the future. But what would you say was the worst part of the whole making the decision to leave and then going through the process of doing so?
Yeah. When I handed in my notice, it was about a week before Christmas, I'm going to say. And I was talking with my wife, do I hand it in before Christmas? Do I hand it in after Christmas? I didn't want to make the Christmas party awkward. And to be honest, I was just trying to delay handing it in because I knew I wasn't going to enjoy doing it. The night before I did it, I had such a bad night's sleep. And then as soon as I called up the partner of my team to let them know, like, my heart was honestly like racing. Like, I very rarely become nervous nowadays, but I was super, super nervous. I probably was very unclear in what I was saying, and my hands and everything was just sweating. It was absolutely horrible. And I think I built it up to make it much worse than it was going to be in my head. To be fair, the partner was lovely when I handed it in. Nothing. She did everything, I suppose, in that conversation to put me at ease. But I felt like, this is ridiculous, I felt like I was letting her down, because ever since I joined, it was pretty much like, at some point I will take over the team and be the partner of that team. Felt like I was letting people in the team down who I'd recruited and trained and everything. And I just had such close bonds with them all that I that was really the biggest part of it. I just didn't want to feel like I was letting any of them down, which sounds ridiculous because on one side, my wife would go, a job's a job, like you got to do what's right for you. And I get that to some extent. But on the flip side, like I've worked with these people an awful long time and I've got personal relationships with them. And as much as I think it's the right time to move, like I still care for these people.
I don't think it's ridiculous. And I actually think it's a positive that you found it difficult because it acts the strong team and the, you know, the relationship you had with people there. And that's always a good thing.
Yeah. And to be fair, after it, I had some like really nice things to me by certain people who I've worked with and stuff. Usually not directly from them because I'm not really an emotionally gushy person at all. I'm the complete opposite, in fact. And so people tend to not be like that with me. But then sometimes I had it fed through to me through other people. And it was just nice to hear that, I suppose, particularly people I'd managed, had really appreciated it. And the time I'd given it, I felt like I had their back and a bunch of other things. So, and I'd never heard that from them before. And it's funny, isn't it, how when happened and you notice, you start realizing how much everyone appreciates, well, not maybe not all the time, but you're realizing that people actually do appreciate you being there.
But obviously that's now in the past, and as you say, by the time they go, that you will have started your new job. So what about the future? What are you most looking forward to? What are the challenges that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, it's hard to finger on exactly what I'm looking forward to. I'm definitely working in a new environment. I just feel like I'm really fit into the culture well at Smith Cooper, and that I'm not going to really have to like hold my personality back much at all. It will just make it much more easier and enjoyable. But not that I did that loads of Downs, by the way, I didn't. But like, I think Smith Cooper would appreciate the almost the quirkiness of me a bit more, maybe. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. I want to go in and just do really well. So going in as a director, there is an employment taxes team in Smith Cooper, but they're based in Derby and I'm going to be based in Birmingham. I'm going to be the only person there in Birmingham. So I am looking forward to the challenge of building up a team in Birmingham for sure. And really it is one employment taxes team. It's just spread across two locations, but at least building up the BIM presence anyway. I'm definitely looking forward to that. The thing I am most worried about though is work and setting up those work streams, because ultimately going as a director and having a good salary and everything, like I know that I'm going to need to do that. It's part of the job. And I think when I sit back and think logically about it, I almost know I'll be fine based on past experiences and some work streams that I know are already going to be set up. But I'm still a little bit worried about it anyway, because it's something that's, it's not a natural bit of me actually, like much more natural doing really giving good tax advice, and I'm less natural at winning the work. But because I'm going to have such a big focus on that initially, I think, at least that's the pressure I'm going to put on myself, I'm actually looking forward to having enough time to dedicate to it. Because what happened after being at, I know I'm rambling a bit now, but I know after being at Danes for so long, like, and because I had so many clients that came to me to ask questions and stuff, like I never really had like, say, 3-4 hours that I could just sit down and focus on business development. It just didn't happen. And because I'm going in like completely fresh without any current clients that are going to be messaging me about any current colleagues messaging me with certain queries, I just think I'm going to have like a bit of time where I can sit and purely focus on that and figure it all out, which will be nice. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes. No. It's, and as you say, it's developing your role further as you gain promotion and adding more strings and skills to your boat, which is just a great for your own personal development.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm sure that they are also happy with the Tax Professionals podcast. That's not going anywhere. And we can see and hear more of you as the weeks go on.
Absolutely, yeah. So about 2 years ago now, I went down to 4 days a week. So I'm still 4 days a week at Smith Cooper. I actually think another big selling point for them, for me, was the fact that they really liked the podcast and seemed to really advocate it. So that's going to help massively, I think, because a lot of them know me from the podcast anyway. I just think it's going to be easy for me to build relationships with people in Smith Cooper and get to know them and, you know, get referrals and help each other out. I just think because they're behind the podcast and that means they're behind me, it's going to make it all more straightforward, I suppose, than what it would be if they wasn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, You've got your new job. You're coming on with the podcast. What's next?
In terms of obviously working for Smith Cooper, it's just going to be, at least in the next 12 months, is focusing on that director role and making sure that I'm building up the work streams. Really, that's my main focus there. In terms of the podcast itself, that will continue with bi-weekly episodes as it has been since it started. But my main focus this year on the podcast is to get more listeners and to get it in front of more people so that it helps more people. So I'm going to continue doing my masterclasses that I do, but I'm not going to be creating any more courses in the near future. And I'm not going to be running them like super regularly. It's going to be probably 2 for each masterclass, just so I have enough time to focus on the growth and stuff. One of the hardest things actually about doing the podcast is because I only have about 12 hours a week that I dedicate to it. There's only so much you can do in that time. And I could continue creating more courses, but that just probably means that, you know, no more listeners will start listening, or at least it'll be slow. Or I could focus on growth, and that means I can't create any more masterclasses. And so there's never really a perfect answer for me. Like, it's always like, what do I think is the best in this moment? And I've just made a decision that I'm more keen to have more people listen, because the whole reason I do the podcast really is to help other tax professionals. And so the more people I can get that listen, the more people it will hopefully help. So that's the aim of that one.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky enough to appear on your podcast at the end of January. And since then, I've had lots of emails and messages and LinkedIn connection requests from people who've listened. So people really do listen and find it very useful. So, and I'm glad that we've had the opportunity to have you on your own podcast and get to know about you, because I personally think your listeners are going to love it.
Yeah, I hope so. But yeah, I was saying this yesterday, wasn't I, when we had a quick chat, like, the guests are the ones that always get the nice messages. So it's only if guests tell a nice message do I know that there's a nice message out there. There are the odd few people that message me directly, but it's definitely less than what the guests get, for sure.
So the takeaway for the listeners from this episode is to send Jack a message and tell him about it.
Yeah, but my head will get too big, so probably best that you don't do that.
Well, it's been lovely chatting to you, Jack, and I wish you all the best with your podcast in the future, and yeah, your new job.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking the time to interview me, and hopefully you enjoyed that experience as well.
I did. New career for me.
Yeah. I'm just going to add in a bit of extra detail about a few things and just a bit more information, just so you guys can have, I suppose, more of the full picture. So in terms of how I got in touch with Smith Cooper and how I started going down the route of having discussions with them, it's about 3 years ago I got put in contact with Smith Cooper by a recruiter. And it was at the time when I was considering going down from 5 days to 4 days a week. So I was looking around to see whether any other employers would take me on a 4 day week. And because Danes, where I was working at the time, allowed me to do that, there was no real reason for me to leave, because my sole motivation for looking then was to be able to work the 4 day week. But I was very, very close to actually accepting the job as Smith Cooper then. I just seemed to get along really well with all the people there. And the process of having discussions with them was just a real pleasant one for me. So then when I wanted to start looking again, they were the first people that I reached out to. I just wanted to pick up that conversation up again, just to see whether they would be willing, I suppose, to employ me as an employment tax director, which obviously they were in the end, because I got the offer. But that was the reason I got in contact with Smith Cooper. One of the questions that Sam asked me in the episode was about the interview process that I went through for Smith Cooper. And the only one I talked about or touched upon was one of the interviews I had, which was with a senior partner at PK Smith Cooper called David Nelson. And it was kind of, it was centered around really like what my approach would be to market, as he called it, and also how I would envisage building a West Midlands employment taxes team. You know, what type of clients I would be targeting, what sectors, you know, what type of resources I think I would need, understanding how I want to work with like a 4 day week, and my plans for the podcast in the future, so that you could see how that would all fit in, I suppose. So that was the interview that I prepared quite a lot for, particularly around like my approach to market, what I thought that would look like, building the team and the resource requirements, just because for a director role, I knew it was going to be important to be able to, I suppose, win work, win business, and then also deliver it, of course. So I spent a lot of time thinking about like, what I was likely to do in those areas. That's where I spent the time preparing. So hopefully that gives you a bit of a flavour for what the interview process was like for a director role. But it was a completely, like, I suppose, even though it seems formal based on the things I've just said, it was still an informal chat for me. And it was a very much a collaborative back and forth discussion. There was one job that I had kind of on the job offer I had on the table that I didn't mention when speaking to Sam. And it was a job for Krona Eye, in a role that basically dealing with HMRC inquiries, employment tax inquiries that had come through. They were covered by fee protection insurance, and it sounded like a real ideal job, to be honest, like right up my street, because it would have had a lot of research involved, a lot of dealing with HMRC, which are things I really like. And also it had a zero BD element to the role, which was something that I thought I was keen on at the time, because when I was reflecting on like what I wanted in future roles, what I liked, what I didn't like about work, I thought that I wanted a role that didn't have BD involved, but I ended up realizing it wasn't not having BD that I was worried about. It was the pressure of having to do a certain amount of BD to win a certain amount of work, just because I do actually enjoy, I suppose, the process of talking to clients and thinking of ways to help them, etc. That's, I don't dislike that, but I dislike the pressure that can come with it. But anyway, I think I would have got offered that job by Krona if I would have taken it further. But because the salary expectation was well off what I wanted, so it was about 25k short of what I wanted, I just didn't see there being any benefits of continuing that conversation. And who knows, it could have worked out a little bit differently if that salary was closer to what I was looking for. Just one last thing to mention as well. So I think as tax professionals, whenever it comes to moving jobs, we tend to focus more on like the negatives, what we're going to lose out on. I know that was what I was thinking about a lot. So it's such a small thing, but one of the things that almost stopped me making the move was the fact that for days I was working as a full-time home worker. So I was very rarely in the office for team meetings and any client meetings I went in for. And for Smith Cooper, I was going to need to go in 2 days a week. And I was toying around with that idea for ages, because I'm a big advocate of working from home. And it's the amount of time, really, that I save by not having to commute into the office. So I was toying with that idea a lot. And in the end, I just thought, it's such a small thing in the grand scheme of things. I did it before COVID, 5 days a week. It was fine. I do actually like being in the office. I do like speaking to people, talking to colleagues. It was just the time element of it. I just thought, it's such a small thing in reality, and I'll be able to get over it. But it was really close to stopping me from moving forward with the Smith Cooper role. So hopefully those things all give you a little bit more information anyway that's hopefully useful in this context. I just wanted to give you as much as I possibly could so that you can, I suppose, understand everything that was on the table, everything that was going through my mind and all those type of things, because mine and Sam's conversation ended up being quite short, which isn't a bad thing. I just wanted to make sure that, I suppose, the information was complete. And I only had the luxury of figuring out what was missing when I listened back to it to edit it. As you would have heard in the episode, my main goal for the podcast this year is actually to increase listenership. And by heading on over to my LinkedIn profile, connecting with me if you haven't already, and either liking, commenting on, or sharing my LinkedIn posts, you will help me with that, because it gets my posts in front of more people and it gets more eyes on the podcast. So if I could ask you to do one thing after listening to this episode, it would be to like, comment on, or share the post that announces this episode. And that would be very much appreciated. Link to my LinkedIn profile is in the show notes for this episode, which can be found at thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/TTPP98. If you like this episode, you can get notifications of all future episodes of the podcast by heading on over to thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/subscribe. Episodes are bi-weekly and are released on Mondays. But that's it for this episode. I hope you have found it useful and have taken away some useful points to help you to progress, develop, and improve your tax career. Until next time.
Hi, I'm Maisie from ProTax Recruitment, and we're proud to sponsor the Tax Professionals podcast. Here at ProTax, we help tax professionals like you to find new roles that are a great fit to you, to find that perfect candidate to add to your team and everything else in between, as long as it's recruitment related. We focus solely on tax recruitment, and this allows us to give you current, informative insights into the tax market, helping you to make well-informed decisions. Head on over to thetaxprofessionalpodcast.com/protax to see our latest tax roles and our team, all of whom would be happy to speak to you.